This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm joined by the beloved founder of Cheekbone Beauty, Jen Harper. And Cheekbone Beauty is a company so deeply connected to Indigenous values, culture, and community. Jen really is a beacon of innovation in beauty and philanthropy. She's not just a name in the beauty industry, she really is a revolution. She's also a visionary who began with a dream and a deep desire to create change. She founded the groundbreaking Canadian and now internationally celebrated beauty brand that gives back, uplifts Indigenous youth, and is inspired by sustainability, love, and humility, and many other things which we'll get to in the Grandfather Seven Values. Before we meet her, let me tell you a little bit more about her. Jen Harper, as mentioned, is an award-winning social entrepreneur and an international speaker. She's the trailblazing founder and CEO of Cheekbone Beauty Cosmetics, which I'm wearing today. I'm very happy to be doing so. And it's really a brand that has gracefully painted the ideals of sustainability and inclusion onto a global canvas. From its inception in 2015, Jen has nurtured Cheekbone Beauty into a B Corp certified force, and we'll find out what that means later on in the show. Now gracing the shelves of Sephora Canada and 600 JCPenney locations all across the United States. Jen's journey with Cheekbone began as a digitally native, direct-to-consumer brand that took pride in its commitment to reducing environmental impact and supporting Indigenous communities. Her formidable leadership made sure that Cheekbone stood out not only for its stunning products, and they are, and they're very pink, and as you can see, I love that color, but also for its ethical backbone. It became a symphony of transparency, philanthropy, and support for women and youth. To date, over $250,000 has been donated to philanthropic causes, testament to Cheekbone's core values. Cheekbone's prestige has been hard-earned. In 2019, Jen Harper made a confident appearance on Canada's Dragon Den, and I love that episode. We'll talk about that too. And while she turned down the offers, her unwavering resolution steered Cheekbone towards exponential growth. Jen's tactical negotiations led to an expanse of contracts with major retailers in North America, shining a beacon of inspiration for Indigenous women by placing an Indigenous CEO-led brand on equal footing with global industry giants. It's pretty remarkable. Jen Harper stands out as more than a CEO because she is a voice for entrepreneurship. I heard about you, of course, through our mutual friend, Leslie Gottlieb, the founder of Airpreneur, who raved about you. And the minute I saw what you do, I was like, oh my goodness, I have to know more about this company and this incredible human. So this entrepreneurship, exerting influence on topics that are reshaping the business landscape, social entrepreneurship, empathy, representation, inclusivity, and sustainability. Regularly sought after for her insights, Jen weaves her narrative as both a woman and as a representative of North America's Indigenous peoples, substantiating the importance of these values in today's business ecosystem. There are so many accolades that go along with Jen's name, and they really bear the weight of her achievements. In 2022, she was listed among the 100 Women of Influence by Entrepreneur Magazine, a list, I have to tell you guys, that has been graced by the likes of Jennifer Lopez and Kim Kardashian. In 2023, Jen was conferred with an honorary doctorate degree from the Goodman School of Business at Brock University. Congratulations. This honorary degree recognized her unwavering dedication to community betterment and adamant endeavors in championing sustainability. And in November of 2024, Jen Harper was also named as one of Canada's top 100 most powerful women. Jen Harper with Cheekbone Beauty brings forth a narrative of passion, resilience, and authenticity. Her biography is not just about the ascent of a brand, it's the story of a vision brought to life, of barriers broken, and of a future envision where commerce and charity coalesce seamlessly. How lovely is that? All painted with the strokes of an eco-friendly brush. Jen, congratulations on all this longest bio in the history ever, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss. I'm so grateful to have you here.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, I was like, we need to shorten that up somehow.
I expanded on it. I know you sent your bio, but we expanded on it because we were so impressed. Jen, this all really began with a dream. And I don't mean the kind of dream that people are thinking, a real dream. You were in your early 40s, newly sober, and you had a vivid dream. And you were able to parlay that into one of Canada's most inspiring beauty brands. Can you tell us more about your brainchild Cheekbone Beauty and how it all began as you imagined these young Indigenous girls smiling, laughing with confidence and joy? Makes me want to cry. And covered in this vibrant, happy lip gloss.
Yeah. Wow, the way you read that, that gave me chills. It's sometimes because you're always deep in the work. You don't always sit and think about the early days or the beginning. And I had no experience in this industry or this space. I was actually a rep for a seafood company at the time when I had this dream. And like you said, it was actual pop out of bed, middle of the night. I was 38. I'm a mom of two, a wife, and just newly sober. So 2 months sober. I got sober November 26, 2014. I have this dream in January of 2015. And it was so real to me that this was going to be the next thing on my career path. And that's when I look back now, 11 years later, that seems insane with the complete lack of experience that I would have in the beauty industry. And knowing what I know now, who in their right mind would think that they could build this thing that they had no experience doing? And I tried to explain it to someone before that it was just this unhinged, if you will, delusional belief system in that this brand deserved to exist. The idea of just representing a community that was truly never represented in beauty before or in mainstream media without the sad stories of our culture and our communities. And Judy, the truth is, those stories are real. But what I was feeling at that time in my life was, oh my goodness, young people deserve to see something inspirational, aspirational. If we constantly saw the hardship and the pain, we become what we believe. And so the whole mission, those three little Native girls covered in lip gloss with their rosy skin and rosy cheeks and brown skin, for me, it was, how can I bring that giggling, that joy, that laughter to our communities and help Indigenous youth really feel seen and represented in the big, broad world that we live in? And that was kind of this initial crazy idea, not knowing a thing about how even to put a product into the world. But I knew that that just deep passion for this part of why we want to do things needs to exist. And overcoming something like alcoholism gives you this real sense of you can accomplish anything. Especially, I was truly, truly in a bad place and completely turned my life around. And so felt like that, okay, if I can do this, I can think I can do anything. And I also felt like it was so important to show other people that it's possible to remove the shackles of any kind of thing that we feel enslaved to. And that's what addictions can do to us, right?
Wow. Well, congratulations on that and on all of this, like all beginning with the hardest thing that you had to do and that you accomplished. Like, that's phenomenal in itself. And then to do this, it's just next level. From the time you were a little girl, you loved makeup, I've read. And I love that you went into this entrepreneurship program that was for Indigenous women that was at a real grassroots level. This wasn't like this. And yet you're a very smart person and you got a lot out of it and you really applied it. You took the course. You then married that with your passion. You always loved playing with creams and lotions and potions and serums and beauty products. And you had that dream that you've talked about. But what I was thinking at the time is many people have the dream to write a book or start a beauty brand or a fashion line, but they don't actually do it. They talk about it. They dream about it. So what do you attribute to your glowing success In having this dream and making this brand not only super successful, but deeply meaningful on so many levels.
Yeah, I think about this often because it's true. We all have dreams. I had dreams before this. Why didn't I ever do this sooner? But I think we have dreams, but then we also have the barriers of regular life that get in the way and things that really do stop us from doing the things maybe that we really want to do. Yeah. And as tragic as losing my brother BJ was, and this happens, so I have the dream in 2015. I just start working on this thing, head down, Monday to Friday, selling my fish. At nights and on the weekends, working on Cheekbone. I've said I've read over 200 books between 2015 and 2016, doing everything I can to build this. And then just before about to launch, I've already started this program that you mentioned in the beginning. I've done that and we're really ready. We have a product. And my father tragically calls on September 20th of 2016 and says that my brother has taken his life. And I now word this as this is, of course, the most painful thing up until that point in my life that's ever happened to me. But it also becomes, honestly, the fuel, the reason why I have kept going on those days when you feel like, okay, like this is really hard. I cannot do this. It's too hard. He became my why. Supporting my community became my why. I did not want another Indigenous person to take their life. And the truth is, in our communities, Indigenous youth, in particular in the North, or youth in the North, take their lives at higher rates than any other group of people. It is just truly tragic. And I am a huge believer in this power of when we see things, we can be things. And it's partially because of my brother who I've lost that made me believe this. When he was alive, if there was an Indigenous person doing anything of remote coolness, I guess, or he thought it was exciting. So from like athletes to actors to models to anything in the world, I would get a message from him about that. And there was a really popular show a couple years ago, and he had already been passed. But I thought these Indigenous people, the directors, the producers of this show, it was called Reservation Dogs,
yes,
were all doing the red carpets of the biggest, the fanciest,
the best. Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, if BJ was alive, I would be getting messages about this. And the reason I knew, he would have felt seen by these moments in his life. And so have this loss and this pain, but this idea. And then when he was alive, before he died, just months before, I was sharing this whole journey with him. And I would ask him, because he grew up on the res in our community. I grew up with my mom in the Niagara region. So he was so closely connected to community and our culture that I definitely needed to lean on him, because the last thing I wanted to do was appropriate our culture, you know, yes, like people, that can happen. And so I would say, look, I want to name this Lipgloss names that mean something to us in our community. And I would even back then say to him, think of like IKEA. We're all shopping there saying Swedish words and we don't even know it. And like, yeah, I want to name all of these lipsticks, the words in our different languages. And our grandmother was a residential school survivor. So her language was robbed from her. It was like a way of honoring her and just bring our culture into the brand with vibrant colors and a passion for taking care of the earth. Like all of these things were so important. And I would share all this with him. And so I don't think and it sounds crazy when I say this, but had he not left us, maybe I wouldn't be here, because I might have given up, because some days this is so, so hard that I know every entrepreneur listening to this understands that. I know you understand that. Like, yes, it's just some days you're like, this is it. I cannot do this anymore.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, yeah, it's, when you have a big why, it certainly helps you to keep going.
First of all, I'm very sorry about your brother, and I read about him. And what a blessing, though. Do you feel his presence in some of these successes? Do you ever sort of feel his soul and his presence?
I'm a big believer in visualization, and I visualize seeing him again one day. But I also visualize and can mentally take myself back driving in his minivan down the highway around our res. And those conversations become so alive. And then I, in turn, visualize in the future when I know that we would be, we'll be together again, and I get to have those conversations with him about what we did. Yeah.
Yes, I love that. It will happen. It will be. So I want to go back to passion for a second, because I watched your episode on CBC's Dragon's Den and I was bawling. I was bawling my eyes out from the minute you were there till you left. And why was I interested in this? We're having Michelle Romanoff as a guest on our show. We've interviewed her already. She's coming up in a future episode. But I wept because I saw your heart and your soul. Mm. And your passion so vividly, and I felt it so vividly. And I'm glad that you got an offer, and I know you did, but I also think it was really brave of you to turn them down. And I'm thinking they're going, though, big mistake, huge mistake, as Julia Roberts says in Pretty Woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was thinking, if I'm crying this much and I'm just watching this, what was that like for you to do that?
That was such an incredible experience. Only because I was so scared to do it. Like, it was terrifying to do it. It was also the third time I'd even tried out. For 3 years in a row, I tried out for Dragon's Den and got rejected. And then the third time they said, okay, we're going to bring you in. And I still, when I look back, I don't feel like I was really ready as an entrepreneur to even be there. Like, my daughter says to me now, she's like, too bad you can't redo Dragon's Den, because I feel like they're so much more ready for this. Yeah. And it was just so emotional. It was so emotional because you plan and you prepare, and they give you like an hour with the dragons, and then the producers do prepare you for months in advance of, like, so you're planning your pitch is down, you're trying to prepare for the kinds of questions that are going to come at you. But I look back, and that was probably the fastest hour of my entire life, because everything was just firing at me all at once. But it was incredible. And I think Michelle and Arlene gave the best advice, that it was too soon to take any equity from the company, and they weren't wrong. And it was like a terrible offer. And so it was definitely not good as a new entrepreneur to give up 50% of your company. And I know it did feel good in our community at the time. Everybody loved watching me turn that down. Right? Yes. But the truth is, behind the scenes, I had an offer from the people who are investors today. So Raven Capital is a brand that's since invested almost $2 million into Cheekbone Beauty. And so they've been our partners since. And it really worked. Sometimes things just really do work out for the best. We didn't look at this as a 5-year relationship, which a lot of VC money is, right? They're like, 5 years, they really want 100x, but 10x is bare minimum. And to turn something around in 5 years, that is not a lot of time. And we knew that. And when we started working with Raven, we've agreed that this would be like a 10-year relationship, and we need time to grow. And so I just really am grateful of how all of the things worked out. And Dragon's Den helped me practice being an entrepreneur, and how to speak about the brand and how to speak to the world. And then it let me be free of, I think, image sometimes. Like, I grew up in an era, I'm going to be 50 this year, and we were always told to hide our feelings, not show emotion. And some women in business still believe that. But I think when something is emotional, it's okay to show your emotion. And I'm really proud of how I was able to go on the show and be there and share my feelings. As hard as that was, it was very healing at the same time. It's really strange. Yeah.
Well, Michelle also, I could see, and I sort of know her now through our interview, was tearing up as well. Because I was like bawling. I'm going, wait a minute, why am I bawling? But I felt for you, and I knew that you were so passionate about this. Like, you know, there's entrepreneurs that sort of do it, and it's a little bit removed from them what they're doing. But you're so inextricably tied with this and it with you, that this, you're being vulnerable out there and brave and all of the great things. So anyway.
It takes a lot. When I think about, you know, some people are really set up for things in life, right? It just so happens that you were born into the right family and you have all the right connections. And some of us weren't born into those situations. And so what I know about the dragons is they love to know the behind the story. So in that hour, as the editors work it out, but they were just really good at pinpointing and asking the questions to get me to that point too, right? Like the producers know there's a story there. But it is very authentic, believe it or not. It's like someone just pipes up and the way they ask the question is where you kind of maybe let your guard down and let them in a little bit and you let them see the real reason why you're so passionate about the thing that you're doing. It was a great experience.
Well, it showed and it was, yeah, it just was beautiful and yet heartbreaking. I don't know, but it was the right thing. Everything happened.
It worked out. Yeah.
It worked out. Don't go anywhere. We're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Jen Harper, founder of Cheekbone Beauty. When we come back, be right back. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by Create, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
Create is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. Create is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, Create is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. Create has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? Create Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about Create Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. I'm here with Jen Harper, the founder of Cheekbone Beauty. So when it comes to bliss, I always say to people, do something that you are deeply connected to, that you're passionate about. And so I know even when you were struggling with addiction, makeup was the one thing that would help you start and face your day with confidence. And it gave you this structure and the ability to get going. I'm going to put on my makeup and then away I go. Can you say more about how makeup can really help women feel empowered and beautiful and confident and hopeful, which is part of your brand too?
Yeah. And it's such a crazy conversation because it's very superficial in a way. You're like, what makeup? Like what is right now, you know, we're living in a tough economy. People are probably like that. Some people, the last thing they can think about is makeup, but I've seen it. I've seen it happen right before my eyes. This transformation that happens to us when we do have the opportunity to get made up, whether it's having that right shade of lipstick put on, finding the perfect blush, perfect eyeshadow, whatever it may be, it's incredible to put the mirror back on the client or the customer and have them literally, even they don't, their body language doesn't change until they see what you've done. And I ask every makeup artist, so I'm not a trained makeup artist. I get to do this now, but I work with many makeup artists. So not only am I doing makeup, we work with several different makeup artists. And my favorite question for this group of artists is, how much do you love the after? And their favorite thing is seeing a client transform. And it's only when they get the mirror in hand or get to look in the mirror that you see their body change from the inside out. It just elevates you in such a different way. And it's not something we need, but it's something that can most certainly help, right? And I feel like it has almost this unspoken way of doing these things. It's a feeling. A gentleman asked me this, believe it or not. I gave a keynote last week in Whistler, and he asked this question. He's like, women don't need makeup. I think women are naturally beautiful. Why do people put, he's a man. He couldn't understand why people put makeup on their face. He's like, I love you. I love your story. I love this brand. But I have in front of 200 people, he gets up and asks this question. And I shared this story of there's no words. You have to live it, experience it, and feel it to see what it does. And he was saying, he's like, my wife, my daughters, my mother, everybody's putting on their makeup. I said to him, next time, just pay attention and watch like what happens after we do it. It gives me confidence. I feel like I speak, I act a different way when I've had like my makeup on and my hair done and I smell nice and just all the things, right?
It's so true. Marilyn Lightstone, who is the co-vivant, the partner of Moses Neimer, who owns the station.
Yeah.
When I interviewed her many years ago, she talked about how even during COVID, every day, even if she wasn't going out and wasn't going to be seeing anyone, she put on her makeup because she just felt better. Of course, she wanted to look good for Moses, but she also wanted to look good for herself and just to face the day. Mm-hmm. She had to put her face on, I think, as she said, and it gave her a lift.
Yeah.
And it wasn't to go out, right? And to be seen and all that stuff. And I never forgot that. So you were born in Thunder Bay. You moved to Toronto with your parents and then later moved to St. Catharines in the Niagara region with your mom, which you've mentioned. And you've also mentioned this, that you were lucky enough to have a wonderful grandmother named Emily Paul. And you once said you wanted to make a lip gloss and use a portion of the profits to create a scholarship in honor of your beloved grandmother. Can you tell us more about your grandmother and why it was important for you to build giving back into the company from the very beginning?
Yeah, so many things here. I was learning so much about my culture when I was building the brand. And in Indigenous cultures and communities, you are considered successful if you give back. It's not about what you're attaining for yourself, which is kind of truly in opposition maybe to Western thinking, right? It's like, how much can I attain? How much wealth can I attain for myself? In our cultures, in our communities, it's truly about what you give that matters the most. And so that most certainly had to be a part of the brand. And that was the foundation of that dream, essentially, was like, when I woke up that night, it became, okay, I have to give something back to my community. And then the more I learned about my grandmother's experience in residential school, the more I recognized how much I wanted to truly try to honor her and her memory. She is long passed away. I've only met her, a handful of times in my life.
Oh.
And the last time that I spent time with her, I was a 15-year-old girl. And so that is many, 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 many moons ago. And so when I was learning about the experience that she had at residential school, the experience that many First Nations people, Inuit people had at residential school, I just felt like it was my way that I could honor her. And what I've learned comes from my family, right? It comes from the stories that my aunties or my uncles are telling me because she's no longer here to share them. And so I leaned heavily on speaking to my aunt Phyllis, who would share all the things that she knew. And what we knew for sure was this was not a wonderful experience. It was very traumatic. And that the language was the thing that felt so wrong to rob from someone. Is language means so much to us. And I don't know about you, but I'm not very good at languages. If I've ever tried to learn another language, I fail miserably. Mm-hmm. And I so only understand things in English. Like that to me is the language of my heart. So if you're born from another culture or community and that is your first language, that is going to be the language of your heart, how you truly understand things. And so I knew this about my grandmother. I knew that her heart was in Anishinaabemowin. And I felt like if we could do something, whether that's incorporating the language into the brand and the products, and then thinking about this scholarship fund. And this part always sounds kind of crazy because I was like, her feelings about education must have been so horrible because look at where they put her. And so we were like, what is something that really could change someone's life? And it is a proper education, right? Like when you're getting a proper education, this can be dramatic for us, whether it's even becoming just literate in itself, whether it's pursuing the career of your dreams, so many things. And so we were like, this scholarship fund will be in honor of her. And since then, our partnership with our scholarship is with Inspire, which is an Indigenous organization that's been around for over 30 years now. And we've been able to deploy 52 scholarships back to Indigenous youth through that. And building something is hard. All of it's hard. But these are the moments that make it feel so worth it, and definitely part of why it's so important for all of us. And I know it gives even our team here. It's a hard project that we work on every year when we have an event for this, but anyone that's ever been in some part of philanthropy, when you're going to ask people for things to get the thing done, it's not easy work, but it's meaningful work. And that's what this scholarship for us certainly is really meaningful work.
It's so interesting because I've done about 700 interviews on this show. I've been doing the show for 7 years, 51 weeks of the year, except for Christmas. And I could say that I know that when we're in service to others, utilizing our unique gifts and talents and capabilities, which you're doing, you can't help. You're honoring, but you're also being in service. And when we're in service, we can't help but be happy as a byproduct.
Yeah. Yeah. So true. And so true.
It's amazing. So I was fascinated to learn, and you've mentioned this a little bit, that before all of this happened, you had a very good job as a territory account manager for Allseas Fishery Corps. So I thought, this is very cool of how you were able to go from fish to foundation, from fishnets to fabulous lipstick shades, and really from one of your first jobs as a catering manager at Inn on the 20 in Jordan, Ontario, which was another job that you did, to building a beauty empire inspired by a dream and a tube of lip gloss. What are some of the take-homes that you learned in the fishing and catering industry that you brought with you into the beauty industry?
I love this question. I feel like not enough people ask, because it's true, like, what skills do we attain in all these other places? And they really become part of, So Inn on the 20 and my years in really management and boutique style hotels here in Niagara and restaurants, I mean, if you want to talk about an experience being created for a customer, I've worked for some of the most incredible like hoteliers that the details just matter so much. Helen Young was the owner with her husband, Len Penichetti, of Inn on the 20. And Helen, I would truly look at her as a mentor to this day. We would be like, sit in the dining room, sit at every table, go in the suites, sit in every area, corner, inch of the room. It's like every detail mattered. And I think I love that about that industry, just providing just the most incredible experiences, especially in Jordan or at Inn on the 20. It would be like a guest was buying a package, right? So they're coming to the spa, the hotel, and the restaurant. Yes. So like, how do we execute and make that the most glorious experience of their life? And it was just such a pleasure to be a part of that and learn from someone like Helen to be able to do all of those things. And I remember for years in interviews, when I went to go leave being in sort of the hospitality side of things, going into sales and marketing, first with Cisco and then with Allseas, my interview process at Cisco was like, tell me of an experience, a time that you went above and beyond for a customer. And I was like, oh, I feel like that's all I did. I feel like that's everything I did constantly. Yeah. But I remember particularly, and it's a story I shared, and this is where no one feels like they stretch this far anymore. But I remember a gentleman called the restaurant one day, and it's not like it's dead. It's busy, right? Like, it's always busy. Things were happening. And he was so interested in an antique that he saw when he was in Jordan Village 2 weeks before, and he could not remember the name of the store, right?
Wow. There's millions of them.
There's a few stores. And then it was also a piece inside the store, and he's describing it to me. I'm like, sir. And then anyway, I said, you know what? Hold on. I hung up the phone. I'm like running down the street. I got the store name for him, the owner, the piece of the antique, get back on the phone, and I share that with him. And he was just like, no one has ever done that. Like, I thought you were going to give me the store name, right? But I think the amount you go for the customer really matters. And I know I really push that here at Cheekbone. I'm like, we need to make them feel like they are the most special human being on the planet. And they have spent their hard-earned dollars. They could buy makeup from anywhere.
Yeah.
They chose to buy it with us. So if they are not happy, how are we going to make them happy? What can we do differently? And we've always just really tried so hard to make their experience. And it's really hard as a digital company. Like, if in person, we could have those opportunities to do those things. But it's truly too, if there was ever someone that worked at Cheekbone that didn't care, and I felt that, they no longer work here, right? Like that is just not the type of people we would have working within the organization. Like I need the people to care. And I know people will never care as much as I do. I recognize that because I'm the founder. And I know Helen probably saw that in me, that I cared about her customers just as much as she did. Wow. And for me as a this goes back to my first job, which is not on my LinkedIn, so you probably don't have this information. It was a dishwasher at a restaurant in the Niagara region. And I remember being I cared so much how clean everything was, because I'm to this day still a bit of a clean freak. And the chef one day said to me, he's like, you don't have to clean the pots that good. Like he's like, you do this, you're like, you're working too hard, but you're not. But I have done everything in my life. I believe in how you do one thing is how you do everything. And yes. I've learned this from my mother. I know that it was a trait that she's passed on to me. And I really believe that like this is so important in every aspect of our lives.
Not wonderful. My goodness, that's incredible. To figure out the core values for your business, you dove into your culture. And so I want to just get right into the brand for a minute. And as I mentioned in the virtual green room off the top of this interview, I am wearing some of your products. One of them is this beautiful lip oil and the color is Serenity and I love it. I want more. This was what they had. And so I got this one because it's very pretty. And I'm wearing this blush, which I love.
Oh, yes.
It looks so good.
It looks
thank
so good.
You. And it matches, right?
Yeah.
And of course, everybody, that's the Balance Blush Bronzer. So there's a beautiful, rich brown, which is for your bronzer. And then this beautiful blush.
And you can use it as an eyeshadow. So what we love to do is our mission is sustainability. So multi-use products, multi-purpose, refillable packaging, all those kinds of things. So with that product, you're literally getting, I'm like 3-in-1 essentially, right? You can use it on your eyes. You can use it on your cheeks.
I love that. Okay. So I want now the people on the radio on Zoomer can't see this. I'm going to describe it. This gorgeous hot pink with orange, beautiful packaging for this lip oil and this beautiful, vibrant purples and oranges and all these gorgeous colors. So you've got to see this on our YouTube videos and on our sneak peeks on our Instagram because it's, and of course in person by buying the products. But I want to just go into this whole brand. And I want to ask you about the 7 grandfather teachings, which are the core values of your company. And I know they are. I'm just going to run through them. Love, unconditional care for others and the earth. Respect, honoring all living things and treating people with dignity. My goodness, this is beautiful stuff. Humility, understanding we are no better than anyone else. Honesty, being truthful with yourself and others. Wisdom, using knowledge for the good of the community. Bravery or courage, doing what is right, even when it's difficult. Truth, living authentically and in alignment with the other teachings. Okay, so just that in itself. Can you tell us about these 7 grandfather teachings, which are the core values of your company, how you arrived at them? Don't answer that just yet. We're going to go on a short commercial break. More with Jen Harper and Cheekbone Beauty. When we come back, we'll be right back after this short commercial break. Back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hey everyone, we are back and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio. I'm Judy Liebrack. Before the break, Jen, you were just about to tell us all about the 7 grandfather teachings and the core values of your business, Cheekbone Beauty.
For sure. So I have worked for multiple different people, multiple different organizations my whole career, and every business has core values. And when we were building Cheekbone, I thought about it in the sense that however you want to build something, when you're the one starting it, you can. And these are truly values and principles, very simple, and every single human could live by, and it could improve our lives if we followed this set of values and principles. And so we incorporated them into three core values for the business, but this is where they come from. And we were like, this business model and structure, because we're an Indigenous owned and operated company, we wanted to figure out how to have an Indigenous incorporated business model, if you will. And it, honestly, there's so many things that I think are just so important in business. Number one, honesty, integrity. We know that means basically the same thing. It's like, live by your word, be truthful to our clients and our customers. How truthful and transparent we are really does matter. Humility is such a big one for me as a leader. And as somebody who's in this space of sustainability, that quite honestly, I didn't have a science background. And so learning as much as I possibly could for the last 11 years, and even prior to that, sustainability has always been something so important to me. But then us recognizing as human beings how little we actually know about these things. And then we think we solve a problem. And guess what? We're making a bigger problem. I think of the electric car, to be quite honest, because now we're extracting how much lithium and the battery issues in terms of where are they going when we're done with them for this product that we think solves something. So I think it's just about being really transparent and clear. And so we use that value system to build our business. And hopefully it just makes us better at what we're doing. And the idea of love, I know everyone always found kind of weird in business, but I mean, love doesn't have to be this romantic Hollywood version of love. It can be a principle as well. And being principled love means we're truly loving people for who they are and what they bring to the table, and not really judging as we're working with someone or supporting someone and loving the planet. All kinds of, there's layers to that, right?
Absolutely. In many Indigenous traditions, I love this. Each teaching is also symbolized by an animal. So the eagle is love. The buffalo bison is respect. The wolf is humility. The say Bigfoot is honesty. The beaver is wisdom. There's just so much depth to all of this. The bear is bravery. The turtle is truth. And I also love the names of your products. I have to talk about this, because let's talk about the Sustain lipsticks, and that you can learn from the lipsticks, like the fact that all the lipsticks are named after the word for land.
Mm-hmm.
Aki. Okay. Anishinaabe Moin.
Yes. So that's my language. That's how we would say land or earth in the Ojibwe people would say it. Aki. Yeah.
Aina. In the land of the Kanaki Maoli.
The Native Hawaiian. So
Native Hawaiian.
I'm actually wearing it today. It's a coral shade. Like when I saw it, immediately I thought Hawaii, when you see a bright coral lipstick, yes. Right?
Gorgeous. Yeah. Gorgeous. The Ashkihik, the word for on the land in the language of the Nehi Yawewin.
Cree, basically. So it's the Cree language, and it's Ashkik. It's like our languages are not easy to learn, and you're doing a fabulous job. So I have a hard time saying them. We all do here. We'll like name something new and we all have to learn it.
Haki, the word for land, earth in the Lenape language.
Yeah. So modern day Manhattan, New York. And that's why we picked like hot pink. Yeah.
Oh my God. That's crazy. Kea is the word for land earth in the Dine Bizad or Navajo. Yeah.
Navajo. It's the Navajo language, and they call it Dene is their language, but it's the Navajo people. And think of in Arizona, the red rocks, and they're that slightly peachy. So that's what the color K is. Yeah.
I love that. The peachy.
Kind of like we're trying to think of when you're naming it and the group of people it's coming from and how it all kind of intertwines.
It's so great. The Makoiche, the word for land in Lakota.
Yes.
Nuna. The word for land in the Inuktitut.
Yeah.
And the popularity of all of these shades, I just have to say, makes sense because they align with the cheekbone beauty philosophy, which is natural beauty, authenticity, softness, and a connection to the earth. Ohor, the mm-hmm. word for land, earth in the language of the Tongva people.
Of modern day Los Angeles. Yeah. So it's like a 90s brown.
That's so cool. The Alohi, the word for earth in Cherokee. Note, this is a limited edition shade. It's a blend of Haki and Uxor.
Yeah.
Awesome. And I love your glosses. And I love that they were inspired by the dream you had of the young Indigenous girls. Mm-hmm. So joyful wearing all these gorgeous glosses. I'm actually dying to get my hands on that tangerine orange one and the beautiful bright pink colored lip gloss. They're stunning. Ooh,
we just made, where did I do with it? We're coming out
with this online.
Crazy orange, but it's got pink shimmer in the orange. And this is launching. It's this one right here.
Oh, that's stunning. I wish you all could see this. The shimmer. Really,
yeah.
Oh, that's like my... Oh, that's it. That's it. I love that. And everyone, I just want to say it. We're going to say this again at the end of the show, of course, but I encourage you to go to Cheekbone Beauty's website, www.cheekbonebeauty.com, because it's so fabulous. Also, the lip glosses are all named after elements in nature and culture that are so important in Indigenous culture, like the birch tree, which represents guidance and protection, and pink moon. The moon is an important symbol in Indigenous culture. Sundance, sweet grass. You have to read about this on the website because I know we've got to get through all of them. Fire. In many Indigenous communities have used fire as a practice to navigate crops and travel, as well as managing the land. Wild berry. Indigenous people use wild berries, such as wild blueberries, for flavor, nutrition, and healing qualities. Like, this is such a thoughtful brand. This is not just, first of all, it's beautiful, but the fact that it has all of this depth and meaning just makes it absolutely next level. You also have this amazing Unify Multi Pencil, one of your best-selling products. It was developed to eliminate the need for liquid, full-face foundation, and concealer and contour. The product actually does all of these things. Can you tell us about this product that comes in 15 shades?
So we were in developments to make like a foundation stick. And originally it was going to go in paper. But the formula kept seeping into the paper because we try to avoid virgin plastic, number one. And consumers really don't, especially in the eco-beauty space where we are, don't love plastic. Any plastic that our brand does use is called PCR. It's already had a second or third life. And it is 100% monomaterial. So like our primer stick, this can be completely recycled, but it's already been a second or third life before.
Generation so, already, yes.
Yeah. So with the Unified Pencils, we have found a partner that was able to put our foundation stick formula in a pencil form. And so it was very new at the time. Now pencil foundations are very popular. Everyone is doing them. But 5 years ago in 2021, when we launched it, we were one of the first. And I was kind of like, I got it. But we've always known it's going to be a ton of education. But gratefully, 5 years later, so many people have fallen in love with this product. And what we take really seriously at Cheekbone Beauty is the ingredients. So not a lot of brands talk about the actual raw materials that they use. They do share through marketing. It has glycerin, hyaluronic acid. They talk about all of those things. But then there's a whole body of ingredients of like what is in something and what happens to it. And so our mission is for our products to be as naturally derived as possible. So meaning every formula inside of our bullet lipstick or our unified pencil, all of the raws, when it goes back into an ecosystem, everything will biodegrade back into nature.
Wow.
Unfortunately, there's many ingredients that don't do that. So our brand, that is something that's very important. And so we chose that path, but it meant that we would do things a little bit differently and that our products, they stand out because that's different for us there. And so it's just something that we always feel like there's so much education involved. However, we still make products that are work really, really great so that if someone just wants really great makeup and those things don't matter to them, that they will still work for them as well.
So it's so fun. I also just want to say, because this is Zoomer Radio and we have an audience from 10 to 100, but Cheekbone is also great for mature skin. And that's really important.
Yeah. Well, because I'm mature, I'm 50 this year. And as I've been aging, I've noticed I wanted my eyeliner to glide and work with my wrinkles, not fight against them. So it was always important. And I've learned that it's all about your skincare routine. And when we have these incredible skincare routines, you want the makeup that you're wearing not to just sit on your face. You want it to work with your skin. You really want excellent, efficacious skincare like ingredients in your makeup. You don't want ingredients that are going to sit and rest in places that they shouldn't. Even our like our setting powder, it's designed to still stay help your skin stay hydrated, but without settling into your lines. It's important that you find the right products for mature skin.
I love that. I also want to tell the audience that you have these gorgeous lip kits and trios that are so beautiful. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a pencil, a lipstick, and a gloss. They're very popular because they make it easy to create a polished, natural look with matching liners and lip colors. Because we don't always know what to put together. And you've taken out the mystery and said, here, there's a pink version and there's a nude version. They're so beautiful. And just on and on. So we've talked about that it's cruelty-free, sustainable by nature. It's also known for being B Corp certified, which I understand to mean your brand has been independently evaluated and recognized for meeting high standards, not just in profit, but how it treats people, community, yes, and the planet. That's also...
Yeah, and always like a quick, we always say people are like, what is B Corp? It's a global community and it's incredible because the whole idea was business can do good at the same time. Yeah. And it truthfully, we always say the Kohl's notes is you put people and planet before profits. And not a lot of businesses talk like that. And that's so right. When you become a B Corp certified company, that's how we speak, including no matter what, 2% of our annual revenues go to causes that matter. So a charitable donation. Yeah. And so that's who we are from the core. And it just, the B Corp community aligned so well with our Indigenous value system.
I love that. Sustainability is also at the heart of Cheekbone Beauty. And so just very briefly, was there ever pressure to take shortcuts in order to grow your business faster?
No. And I'm really grateful because our investors are Indigenous led as well. And so I think if they weren't, maybe that would be a situation that we would have found ourselves in. But we, our values truly aligned.
I love that. 4 years ago during National Indigenous History Month, you came up with a line of lip glosses titled Luscious Lead, E. coli Kiss, and Mercury Shimmer, not really meant for sale, but meant to make a point. During National Indigenous History Month, it was clear that it was time to stop glossing over the water crisis that has swept over Indigenous communities for decades. So partnering with Sephora Canada and Sid Lee, your beauty brand Cheekbone, helped the public become aware of the realities that some Canadians are forced to live with. By featuring non-sellable lip gloss, this campaign aimed to replicate the exact hazardous contaminated water found in some of these communities. The lead that is found in this water is known to increase high blood pressure, cause digestive problems, and they replicated this contaminated water that can make people sick. All this was to make a point, and during that month, Sephora Canada pledged to donate all of their sales to the Water First organization, which strives to educate more Canadians of the water challenges that many Indigenous communities are facing. So I love that you were at the forefront of this initiative and were able to use your brand for good. Can you just say briefly more about the impact of this initiative?
Yeah, I think aside from like just the incredible social impact we made with this campaign and just bringing awareness to an issue that many, many, many communities still struggle with, not having access to clean drinking water. It was so important for us to be a part of this and be able to share this. And when you have a place like Sephora highlighting this story, then it's just what an amazing opportunity that was for us to take to work with them on that and have that platform to share this. And it's so important because so many times things like this do get glossed over, as in the name of the campaign, right? Like so many stories like this get missed. And unfortunately, it's the reality for daily life for many people.
You've been a fan of Patagonia and Tom's Shoes. You always had the idea that you could build a business that's about doing good in the world, as well as being a thriving business in itself. How much did this philosophy shape the vision for Cheekbone Beauty?
Oh, massively. When I had the dream and then started doing all the research on the kind of business I wanted to build, it really was about what good are we going to do? Or it felt like that I couldn't do it for any other reason. I wasn't just here to do it to make a profit as a business normally would. And not that there's anything inherently wrong with that. Businesses have to make profit to function. And even many times people have said, maybe you should be focusing on that and not on the giving back. Well, the reason the brand existed was about the giving back. And so that's why we still exist today. And so it's something that is, it's the foundation of the brand. And it's something that I know we'll never walk away from.
So incredible. This feels like such a beautiful full circle moment. Our producer, Lori, actually worked on AMC's Fashion Dis, where Cheekbone Beauty products were featured. And what stood out to us is that Fashion Dis was a show deeply rooted in representation and inclusivity across the board, different identities, cultures, body types, and perspectives. Did it feel meaningful for you to see Cheekbone Beauty become part of spaces like that, where visibility and authentic representation were truly being celebrated?
Honestly, I feel like one of the things I truly love about this journey is the amount that I've learned personally as a fellow human on this planet. Every project that we've come face to face with, I am now learning to understand that there's a different situation for a different kind of human being. And it's not always fair. It's not always easy, but it takes me to a place as a leader of a business that how can we look at things differently? So when you're faced with all kinds of different disabilities and things that could exclude you from things and you learn about it, then you look at the world differently. And so it's really opened my eyes to the amount of work that truly needs to be done. And I'm grateful to be a part of all of it and just be open to learning and thinking of what we could do differently as a brand to make it better for people.
There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show, and of course, we're going to ask it to you now. What is bliss for Jen Harper?
What is bliss for Jen Harper? It sounds like happiness and joy. And if I can have moments of those throughout the day, then I'm going to be okay. And for me, that's like that feeling of contentment and that everything's going to be all right. And so if I can get pockets of that, maybe not every day, but at least at some points in the week, then I feel like I'm on the right path and I'm doing the right thing.
What was one of the 100 books that you read during your journey to reading and learning all about all of these good things?
Everything. Oh my goodness.
Was there one that really resonated?
So I always talk about The Power of Habit by Dr. Charles Duhigg, because of anyone struggling with addiction, if you read it and deeply understand from the position of how we were created, and we were created to really have ownership of our own minds and our, you know, they call addiction a disease of the mind, and it's about neuroplasticity. And so once you understand, you do have the power to make those kinds of changes. It was very powerful. Also loved Shoe Dog, the story of Phil Knight and how he built Nike and the journey that that takes. And there is so many, many more of my favorite books. I love anything by Malcolm Gladwell. Like, he's an excellent writer. And Unreasonable Hospitality in the last few years has been one of my favorite books. I didn't read it in that 100 period, but in the last couple of years, it took me back to my years inside the restaurant and hospitality industry. And again, those moments of the kind of experiences we're creating. It's an incredible book by the owner of 11 Madison Park in New York City.
That's awesome. When you come back, hopefully again one day, when you've written your book or you've done your next amazing thing, we can talk about some of the other the others on the list. What is the best way for people to contact you, connect with you on social media, and of course to buy your beautiful products, Cheekbone Beauty, and support your inspirational initiatives?
Yeah. So of course, Sephora.ca here in Canada, 80 doors. And you can find the locations on our store locator, as well as all the other independently owned and operated shops, mostly owned by so many amazing women across the country. And I am Cheekbone Jen on all of the social platforms, or Jen Harper on LinkedIn, but happy to connect with anyone.
I want to thank you, Jen Harper. It's really been an honor to have you here today. It really has. You're a wonderful person.
Thank you so much for having me.
In Bliss News, we are so excited and grateful to announce our phenomenal giveaway courtesy of Jen Harper and Cheekbone Beauty. 3 lucky winners will each receive a $100 Cheekbone Beauty e-gift card. And all you have to do is follow us at The Bliss Minute and at Cheekbone Beauty on Instagram. Just like the post, tag a friend in the comments, and the winners will be announced on Tuesday, June 30th at 3 p.m. I would love to thank our wonderful guest, Jen Harper, for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kylie, producer Lori Quinn, audio engineer Juliana Yanuziello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center. And as well, thank you to Garrett Flores for the gorgeous pink roses that adorn our set. each week. For everyone here, I'm Judy Lee Brack, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.